Welcome back. Give me some Double D. I think you're going here. I got a Red Bull. There we go. Oh, it's a college football Thursday, baby. What are you, Boise State? USF tonight at 5:30? Get out of town. Sounds great. I'm ready for that. Coming up on the show, how much would you give a local legend? We're going to talk about Adam Thielen returning to Minnesota and then rank some of the worst quarterback rooms in the NFL in 20 minutes, which should be fun. So yesterday, I was reading about Arch Manning, and I know everyone is giving me the collective eye roll, but I'm very fascinated by how you were able to manage like that sort of fame in the social media age. Because you could make an argument now with social media that he is the biggest name to play in college football. And, I mean, maybe ever. At least hype-wise, right? Like, he's everywhere. So, I was reading that, okay, his younger brother is at Texas as well. Hyde Manning, so that helps, right? Like, he has a family member there. He likes that it's a big city because there are places he can go in Austin where people don't care who he is or don't know who he is, and he likes that. He can kind of get away. But the funniest thing about it all is that, you know, the Manning family, of course, has different personalities, right? Eli is, you know, kind of keeps it simple, whereas Peyton is the cerebral quarterback. And so Arch was telling a story where he reached out to both brothers and said, hey, I'm having issues, or I threw an interception during a two-minute drill. What sort of advice would you give me? And Eli texts back, hey, man, just keep it simple. Look for the guys in the same color jerseys. Peyton texted back a 30-minute voice memo, which sounds like the exact thing you would expect Peyton Manning to do. Like, imagine you get a 30-minute voice memo from Peyton Manning on how to handle a two-minute drill. It doesn't surprise me at all, and I just thought it was hilarious.
I wonder which strategy works best for... How old is Arch Manning? How old is he?
I don't.
Like, he's still young, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's not 24 or anything.
No.
My point being is that sometimes I wonder if you tell kids, or like even like young men, like if you tell them too much, they're not going to absorb it all. Yeah. Like, obviously, I am trying to coach my daughter, who is 5, who maybe is a touch below Arch Manning in Texas. Bit. But do you get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Is sometimes I do think it helps to keep things simple and be like, hey, just focus on the receivers instead of like, you were looking at this type of coverage and next time you need to watch this man. Because not everybody has the brain that works as quickly as Peyton Manning. Because think about it. Like, he can absorb all of this so quickly because he's an NFL veteran and one of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. So sometimes I think those type of people are not always the best teachers for people who are not on that skill level.
Oh, I agree. So, didn't put this in the chat. Arch just turned 21. And, you know, when you're that young, like, you're
young.
Quite literally, your brain is still developing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're still, like, not a finished product. And so, I think that's a good point, which is sometimes keeping it simple is the best way to do it. It's like the old broadcasting moniker, which was KISS, keep it simple, stupid. Like, a lot of times when you're first starting out in this business, you're trying to get so much information into a live shot or something, and it, not to say you don't want to be accurate and source correctly and all those different journalistic things, but at the same time, if you're talking for a minute, you can only say so much, so just keep it simple, stick to the facts, and don't overthink it, I think is the broader term.
Well, especially because think of your audience. Like, they're not experts on the topic, so you have to talk like you're talking to an everyday person. So I think sometimes people who are at the very elite level kind of struggle with trying to bridge that gap between them at the very top and normal everyday people because it feels so out of touch for them. Like, imagine like Nick Saban trying to explain coaching to somebody who's coaching a team of 5-year-olds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you'd be like, I mean, even now as an adult, I'm trying to, like, I know the game, but I'm not some sort of expert, and I'm not one of those people that believes that, oh, if you didn't play, you can't know. Like, you can learn whatever you want to learn without necessarily having the, you know, what would be considered the requisite experience. But I will watch from time to time ex-athletes talk about things that they're seeing on tape and try and learn, because I'm like, this is just a little bit more nuanced that maybe I can apply to my own skill set. And even then, sometimes I'm like, all right, I gotta rewind here because this is a lot, you know, and I'm a grown man. But even then, at a certain level, people who are experts who have done it at the highest level, like, they have an amount of knowledge that sometimes you have to break down in bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, it's like when you read the Bible. You're like, wait, what?
Yes.
What was that word?
It's like, whoa,
like,
read that passage again.
You have to read each sentence 3 times, or even, like, whatever big book you want to put in there. Like, I remember in high school when we were reading, like, some of the classics, like Crime and Punishment, War and Peace, it would take so long to read a page because it takes so long to absorb, like, how complicated these sentences are. It was a far cry from, like, the Berenstain Bears, which are my personal favorites.
Well, it's a classic. But yeah, I feel that way myself. I'm like, all right, wait. Let me look at this play again. I want to understand what you're trying to say here. So it definitely applies if you're 21 and still learning the game, and your brothers are, you know, Hall of Famers or potential Hall of Famers. Okay, so yesterday in the NFL, since that's kind of where we're headed, Adam Thielen got traded back to the Vikings after a couple years with the Panthers. So Carolina gets a 5th-round pick in 2026 and a 4th-round pick in 2027. The Vikes get Thielen, who is 35, a 7th-rounder in 2026 and a 5th-rounder in 2027. Do you like this move? I think this is perfect for Minnesota.
Yeah, especially if you need a spot to fill what you're going to be missing with Jordan Addison. Mm-hmm. So especially somebody who everybody absolutely loves with his time that he spent with Minnesota before, and especially when you have a younger quarterback, I think these type of guys are really helpful. You need somebody who's going to know how to run a good route and somebody who can help a young quarterback along. So I think it's a great move.
Yeah, I do too. And J.J. McCarthy and Thielen worked out during the offseason together, and I don't think you can overestimate how important it is when you are a younger quarterback to have someone you can rely on, like just that steady presence in the locker room and on the field, because these veterans, they know how to get open, they know how to communicate, they know the game, there's things you can learn from them. And having a guy like that that you already have a rapport with because you guys were together during the offseason is huge, and it adds to that receiver room. I know his numbers have dropped somewhat. Last year in 10 games, 48 receptions, 615 yards, 5 touchdowns. But again, that's only in 10 games, and he actually was really productive in the second half of the season. So I know he's 35. I know he's past his prime. But I think this is a very solid addition, especially, again, when you have a young quarterback who's going to need as many options as possible.
Yeah, if he can stay on the field, like, I still don't think 35 means what it used to mean. Like, 35, people are still taking very good care of their bodies. Mm-hmm. And also, like, back in Carolina, he was not in a pass-happy offense or an offense that was super productive.
Right.
You know, with Bryce Young. Fair. I am not saying that J.J. McCarthy will be a huge step up. I am just saying the offense as a whole will probably work a little bit better. Because think about it. Like, if you're lining up, you know, on the opposite side of, like, Justin Jefferson, that's where the defensive attention's probably going to be. And it does look like Justin Jefferson should be ready to go for week 1. I know he's been nursing some injuries, but I still think it's a great spot for Adam Thielen. And, of course, you know, the fans like to see people like this as well. So if you have to overpay for him just a little bit, I think it's still worth it.
And also, Jordan Addison is going to be out for the first 3 games. So he's been suspended for conduct detrimental to the team. That was stemming from a DUI arrest last year. And that was a situation where the charges ended up being reduced, but he still has to serve that suspension. So Thielen will be even more important to start the year with the Vikings. How much would you give up to bring back a local legend? I know you said, okay, well, you overpaid a little bit. And I think the Vikings did it just right. Like, okay, you move down around in 2026 and 2027 in the late round, and you bring a guy back who is beloved. So I think this is sort of the perfect price. At what point do you sort of quit giving someone the old hometown discount, or maybe overpaying because you just want them a part of your organization and it's good vibes?
Well, I think this is not a move that will put your organization underwater. Like, these are not the ones that, like, destroy your payroll. We would be talking about the mega deals. And, Jenks, I feel like you have a good, you know, end to talk about this, because Terry McLaurin. You know, you could say that they wanted to give him a hometown discount because he has been there through the bad and the good. So do you think that he got any type of discount? Because we did get the details of his contract. And I feel like Adam Peters is better at his job than I think people realize.
I think Adam Peters nailed it. I think he nailed it. Because when you look at, look, there are incentives built in. But ultimately, when you look at average annual value, it's right there around $29 million, which is sort of where a lot of people thought that key number would be. So I hate to say this side won or this side won, but I feel like Adam Peters stood his ground and, you know, did something that will be beneficial for the team. And ultimately, this is about looking forward to making sure Jaden Daniels gets paid here during the final year of his rookie contract. And so that you're not hamstrung there. So they're going to have to pay him God knows how much money. I mean, probably $70 million a year or something ridiculous, which he will deserve. But I think this is a win for both sides. And Terry is still getting his money, a lot of it up front. But it's certainly not in that DK Metcalf range, which we kept hearing was one of the demands. I will say it was kind of cool when I was out at Commander's, let me do this, Tuesday. And so I'm getting ready to leave. We shot the podcast, and I walk out. And as you walk into the facility, there's a huge, like, series of TV screens. It's just this big video board, essentially. So I walk out from around the hallway, and there's this big graphic that says, Scary Terry, signed, sealed, delivered, something like that, right? And I turn, and I see Dan Quinn, like, beaming. Like, not just like he is standing in front of this monitor, and he's just... like, he's so happy, and he's beaming, and then there's, like, a gathering. I'm like, what? Something's going on here. I don't know what it is. And then, as I'm trying to walk out, I realize Terry is just arriving after signing that deal. So he's hugging everyone, you know, he's dapping people up. Oh, I appreciate you. So everyone was so happy to have him back, and I realized I'm walking out as he's walking in, and everyone's celebrating him officially being back, and... of course, I was tempted to, like, pull out my phone. I was like, this is not my place. I'm just going to, you know, slide out of here. But it was really cool to see, and everyone seemed very happy that this was finally done. So I think Adam Peters did stand his ground, but I feel like Terry, in the end, he got taken care of. It's a win-win.
Yeah, and it does feel like both sides are happy now. Mm-hmm. I do think the way to do it for guys who are on the older end of things is make it incentive late in, because wasn't that the case with Terry McLaurin? Like, it's a lot of incentive, so it can be up to, what is it, $96 million, something in that range.
Yep.
If he hits all of his incentives, so that's how you do it for older people. Like, for older people,
for older,
for geriatric
people.
You get what I'm saying?
No,
guys,
I know
who
you
are
mean.
Over 30 in the NFL, to keep them, you know, on the right path. Because sometimes, I'm not saying Terry McLaurin does this, I feel like the Titans need to do this with a lot of their, like, big name, you know, signees after the age of 30. But I do think that's the way to do it. And also, like, these little types of things, I feel like maybe we don't hear about all of them, but they go a long way. It's like, we all have a friend that does, like, little things for you, like send you a card on your birthday, and it just makes you feel special. And, like, I have experienced this from a baseball side of things, where you go to an organization and they do all these little things. They have somebody who is in charge of this. They hire extra people to do things like this.
Yeah.
And you notice. You're like, wow, I feel like a family here. They're doing all these things for me. And then you go to a team that doesn't do it, and you're like, wow, this is terrible. Why would anybody choose this team? So those little things, they do make a difference.
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, you could feel kind of the joy in the room, and I slunk out. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna sit there and start high five. Yes, awesome, man. Great to have you back. You know, be like, what is this guy doing here? So I was like, time for me to leave. I'm gonna go. But you're right about that. And also, I mean, as an example in the other direction, I mean, this is a story 4 or 5 days ago, where the Bengals, of course, was the Bengals, so cheap, where they invited former players to come back. And one of those players, Boomer Esiason, one of the greats in franchise history, to be inducted into their Ring of Fame. And they sent out the invites, and they wanted them to pay their own way. They were like, hey, we reserved a block of rooms at, like, the Renaissance Inn or whatever it was, Residence Inn. Go ahead and just call, and you'll get the discounted rate. And he was like, are you serious? Like, what a slap in the face. Like, hey, we're inducting you into our Ring of Honor, Ring of Fame, whatever it is. But, you know, you got to pay your own way to get here. Come on, dude.
These are billion-dollar franchises.
Yes.
Like, they are not hurting for money. They're making money hand over fist, and they can't spend $179 a night for their legends.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't like at the Four Seasons, and even then, it is a billion-dollar organization. Like, you can hook them up. I couldn't believe that. It's a crazy story. But, of course, it's the Bengals. Coming up next, would you rather have Daniel Jones or Justin Fields in your quarterback room? Oh, yeah. You're going to have to think about that. We're going to rank the worst quarterback rooms in the league. That's coming up next on The Daily Tip here on the BetMGM Network.